Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 93 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on the show, we've got a long, long list of news. We're going to round out the bendies because.
Yeah, we want to keep it moving.
Yeah, let's keep the line moving. We will discuss your secret question, and we're going to finish it out with who did it better. What you think?
I love the format. I say we keep doing stuff like that.
Don't we do that every week?
Yes, we love formats. We love structure.
The best two ways to support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro, Fully Posable Classically Jack t-shirt. Also, you can pick up the hashtag Fig Life shirt and pin combo for $20. Scott, for $20, you can support this show by getting that t-shirt and pin.
Yes, it's very stylish. It does not bring as much good luck as the Fully Posable Goes Retro shirt. But it still does bring good luck, and you still get the Fully Posable Goes Retro pin with it, which it's an awesome deal. 2 for $20, come on.
Yep. Or if you just want the pin, maybe we don't have the shirt in your size, you can also just pick up the pin for $10. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. I'm not even going to read this week, Scott, because I forgot it again.
Again?
Again.
Dude, this will be like our running gag. Be like, I was going to read one of our iTunes reviews, but I forgot to write it down.
Yes, I'm just extending it out. That's what I'm doing.
You'll make it up one of these weeks. You'll read like 10 of them in a row.
The funny thing is when I begin that spiel of fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, all that stuff, I always look to my right and I'm like, crap, the iPod isn't there.
I totally forgot it again.
And so I just finish off the spiel and I'm like, crap.
Don't promise our listeners that you'll remember next week, because you probably won't remember next week.
Listeners, I'm guaranteeing you I'll forget next week.
It's a good guarantee.
You can send us any audio questions, any questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
Yes, I did. I actually did do some toy spotting this weekend. Still no Series 2 retros to report at Walmart, but they did have Elite 52 and Basic 76, which I was really surprised to see at Walmart, of all places. Ended up passing on Braun. I do like the figure, but I think I'm going to wait for his next Elite to come out. I want to see what that one looks like. They're getting a lot better. I like the look of the Braun figure. I just passed on it. I'll see what the next one looks like. What's funny is I went back the following day, and all they had left was Xavier Woods and a D'Lo Brown. All the rest of them were gone.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, those elites got snatched up quick. Basic 76, they still had quite a few of. They still had Macho Man sitting on the pegs. And at Target, our local Target here, they got in the Hall of Fame 4-pack with the NWO, Hall and Nash, Eddie Guerrero, LWO, and Larry Zbysko. And that was going for $49.99.
I'm going to wait till that drops on price to get that thing.
It's not even going to matter to me. That's a full pass all around.
I just want the Larry Zbysko. That's all I care about. And I don't care about the other figures being loose or anything like that.
I do too, but it would mean a little more if he had like a title with him. You know, like an NWA World Tag Team title, an AWA title, even though I know they can't do that. But just something with him. Just a basic Larry Zbysko by himself doesn't, or an elite Larry Zbysko doesn't do a lot for me. I'd want a belt or something with him. Or at least his jacket or his robe or something. Like,
the jacket would have made complete sense. That's a good call.
Yeah, but then when you get into stuff like that, you're dealing with having to get like a Hall of Fame Larry Zbysko. And Jordan Cassatt, I think, called it perfectly that figure would just sit. It would be the equivalent of the Target Tito. So I really don't think we're ever going to get a single pack Larry Zbysko. This is going to be your only shot at getting a Larry Zbysko.
Yeah. As I said, I'm going to wait till that goes on sale like the Horseman did.
And then you'll get your Larry figure?
I'll get my Larry figure, and then I'll have another Hall and Nash And another Eddie Guerrero loose.
Yeah, to go along with the collection of Hall and Nash's and Guerrero's that you already have.
Touche.
Yeah.
anything else?
No, that was it. That's the conclusion of my toy spotting.
Ah, so we went to Target last week hoping to find the new NXT figures. Nothing.
Yeah, ours too.
Ours is terrible, dude. The one out here in Alameda is just complete garbage. And for some reason, I keep going back to it. Maybe because an In-N-Out Burger is right next to it.
Oh, yeah, that helps.
Yeah, that helps things. When I'm sad and there's no figures at Target, I just head over to In-N-Out Burger and I feel suddenly better.
Are you trying to rub it into our listeners that don't have an In-N-Out near them?
No.
Okay. Just making sure, because In-N-Out is delicious.
Yes.
Yeah. We love In-N-Out.
Oh, we do love it out here. So anyways, that was basically my toy spotting. But then luckily yesterday was Nakamura Day on our Twitter because everybody found the Nakamura at Toys R Us.
Big time.
I should say the Nakamura Funko.
Yeah.
Everybody was finding that. So special guest. The editor went over to Toys R Us and snagged one up for me, dude.
Oh, nice. Did they have a lot of them?
Yeah. She said they just put them out.
Okay. That is such a cool pop, dude. I really do like it.
It is cool, dude. I absolutely love it. So that will be going in the Funko window. And yeah, so that was basically it for my toy spot. Nothing else new to report. Nothing new. Didn't receive anything in the mail, so.
You know, one interesting thing that I did want to report on toy spotting this week is Matthew Goldberg on Twitter has had good success finding the basic NXT line, the new one.
Yeah.
But he came across a fresh case, and there were no Rezars in it.
No Rezars.
No Rezar? Rezar? However you pronounce it. The one half of Authors of Pain, not named Akam or Akam. Not to be confused with Akeem. I think it was the one that started with an R. Matthew Goldberg did not find his figure, even though he came across a fresh case. So I'm starting to get a little concerned that the Authors of Pain, at least one of them, might be short packed.
Don't be concerned. It'll be okay, Scott.
Well, because you don't like the Authors of Pain.
I don't. There's something about them I just don't like.
And see, I do. And I didn't like them until that triple threat tag match with DIY and Revival.
Oh, it was a great match.
It was fantastic, and that was the match that made me a fan of Authors of Pain, so I really want to find those NXT basics. But if Goldberg's onto something that they're short-packed, like, it's one of those things when you see him, grab him, because he may not be there next time.
Yeah, that was it for toy spotting this week. Pretty short week of toy spotting.
You got a good one, though. A Shinsuke pop.
Love it. So, Scott, we've got some news, dude. We've got some breaking news.
We've got huge breaking news.
Okay, it's not breaking. It's just news everybody already knows, but
it's just a lot of news. We'll talk your ear off.
Yeah, you and I give our opinions on it.
Yeah, we just talk a lot. It's what we do.
Let's get into the news.
You didn't know?
Scott, announced this week is the first four entrance greats. So everybody knows about Kurt Angle. It's going to be an Elite style. We all saw the packaging. After that, it's going to be Jeff Hardy. After Jeff Hardy, it's going to be Asuka. And after Asuka, it's going to be Bobby Roode. Four people, I think, are well-deserved of entrance greats.
No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. We've talked so many times about how cool it would be to have a Bobby Roode in his glorious robe, Asuka in her elaborate entrance gear. They couldn't have picked four better, in my opinion. They absolutely just nailed it. And I got to say, the one I'm most excited about, it's Asuka.
Why is Asuka the one you're excited about?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a huge Asuka mark. I think she's amazing, and she might be the best wrestler on the WWE roster. But aside from that, I mean, she's got the robe, the big flowy robe. She's got the mask on. That's going to be a knockout home run figure, dude. It's just going to be amazing. I think they're going to absolutely kill it. After that, probably Bobby Roode is the one I'm most excited about. But see, if the packaging looks really good, and they've got the little rotating base on there again, I don't know that I'm going to be able to open any of these. I know that's a big no-no on your part, but I do kind of enjoy opening figures. But if you can rotate these on the base so you can get a full 360 of the figure, that's going to be a tough call for me to open. I'm probably not going
to
do it.
How cool would it be just to spin Bobby Roode, because he also, on his entrance, has that spinny platform?
Or as you're turning it, it like plays his music.
Oh, and you don't even have to press the button?
Right. just all you have to do is turn it, and then that plays the music. Like, yes. A music box almost.
Because the original entrance grates had that button that you'd push, and it would play like a quick little 10-second clip of the person's music.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. It's like having a sound module with your figure, which I'm a big fan of, going all the way back to the Freebirds Galoobs. But yeah, dude, I think those first four announcements, perfect.
Yep.
Couldn't have done better.
So this might get a little wordy, but write these down as I go through. This is the UPC code for each of these. So I'm going to read off the UPC code for Kurt Angle. So you can feel free to punch these UPC codes into BrickSeek. Remember, Target is off BrickSeek now because they hate BrickSeek. That is like...
jerks.
Yeah, that's like Voldemort to them. Yeah.
Way to bring a Harry Potter reference to the show, dude.
No problem, dude. All right.
It's what we were missing.
So write these numbers down. So for Kurt Angle, the entrance grate, the UPC code on that will be 887-961-575-651. Did you get it, Scott?
Yes. It's in my memory bank.
So, also, I also have the SKUs right here for Kurt Angle. 330-628-312. So there's the UPC and the SKU. Now, for Jeff Hardy, the UPC will be 887-961-575-675. And again, remember, you can punch these into BrickSeek, and Walmart will punch up what they have available. The SKU for Jeff Hardy is 486-331-570. For Asuka, the UPC code is 887-961-575-644. The SKU for Asuka is 621-774-825. And for Bobby Roode, the UPC is 887-961-575-668. And the SKU is 200-279-621. Dang, dude. I feel like I just went Broadway on the news just reading those off.
And Jeff's SKU is 867-5309.
I thought it was 976.
1-800-HOT-GIRL.
Pick up the phone. So, Scott, Basic 79 pictures were also shown. TJP is in his black and white pants. Nia will be in her purple and black outfit. It seems like they're just capturing the Nia figure each time.
They are. This one is a basic repaint, though. It looks just like her other one, but I mean, the other one was perfect. So if you missed out on that one, here's another one. Looks just like her, just different coloring.
And I'm saying this right now. I'm already starting to kind of go down my list, but Nia will be in my top 10 of figures this
year. No doubt. No doubt, dude. She looks amazing.
Neville, he's in gray tights. It's more of his updated look.
Gray trunks. Trunks, sir.
Damn it. Baron Corbin is green pants and Lone Wolf t-shirt. Samoa Joe, black and red shorts. And Stone Cold Steve Austin is traditional Austin look. Does come with the knee braces.
Yep.
Also, Elite 55, three of the six figures were shown on card. What do you think of the new carding, by the way? The white card of it?
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
I like it. I think it has a good pop to it. It's a little more interesting than I think just the red Elite packaging. I actually kind of dig it. It pops a little more.
I agree with you. I like the red, but I didn't love the red.
Yeah, it was fine, but I think that there's just more color and more pop to the new packaging, and I really dig that it's coming with the Schamburg prints too.
100% agree with you on that one. So Elite 55, as I said, three of the figures were shown on card. Neville, another Neville, gold trunks, cruiserweight title.
Looks awesome, by the way. That is one killer Neville figure.
It's his updated look. It looks great. James Ellsworth, he comes with that ridiculous t-shirt with his face on it.
Your opinion.
Did you like that shirt?
It was ridiculously awesome.
Moving on, Mark.
It's better than the I Got Kids. Come on.
Mark.
Thank you. Thank you.
Enzo, he is in his 100 emoji pants, certified G jersey in the lower right-hand corner, and comes with that microphone. I love that touch of that microphone. It's got that yellow and black bandana wrapped around the handle. I think it looks awesome.
It might be worth it to buy that figure just for that mic.
Would you pop it open?
Possibly. But, you know, I've got to buy an Enzo just because he has been the hero of our fantasy season. Not trying to rub anything in, but as our very, very last pick, the dude has been money. As much as I dislike him, Dude, he's been like our MVP, so I have to go buy a figure of him. And this one is a perfect Enzo figure.
Scorekeeper Jeremy hates Enzo and keeps using the hashtag screw Enzo, which is absolutely hilarious because every time Enzo gets us buku points, he's like, just screw Enzo, damn him. I love it. Oh, also in that series of Elite 55, Undertaker, it's the American Badass Undertaker.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar and Big Cass. Scott, new Target Hall of Fame figures just... Well, I shouldn't even say new. This has been rumored since April of 2016 when we were in Dallas for WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, this series was supposed to come out quite a while ago, and they're just getting around to it now, and thankfully they did because these figures look awesome.
Diesel... He's in his all-black Diesel outfit, comes with the Intercontinental title.
Yep.
George the Animal Steel comes with Mine, his stuffed animal, and flowers, which I thought that was a cool little touch.
That figure captures my childhood just perfectly. Like, that is 80s wrestling to me, is George Steel with Mine and flowers chasing after Elizabeth. That's just so great.
Saturday Night's Main Event where he's chasing her around the ring and carrying her away. Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, if that was to happen now, George Steele would be like the biggest heel on the roster. People would hate him. He'd offend everybody. But back in the 80s, he was awesome. We felt sorry for him.
If you think about it now, wrestling in the 80s would not survive today because of the internet.
Oh, that's 100% right, dude. That's 100% right. I completely agree with that.
People would crap all over a character from Uganda and just pats his belly.
Yes.
Who else? People would... crap all over a guy named Earthquake.
Yep.
Different times, but wrestling was great back then.
I still go back to it. It's my favorite era.
Moving on, Jake Roberts. He's in his white tights with two snakes. Not one, but two snakes, Scott.
Is that Damien and Lucifer?
No, because Lucifer was a cobra, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was the one that bit Macho Man. So who was the one after Damien? Because Damien got squished.
I don't know. He had that big yellow snake.
And that's the one that's in the packaging.
Yeah, that's the one that comes with, or like around Jake. But in the background of the package, there's another snake.
That's Damien.
Yeah, yeah, that one's Damien, which Earthquake killed.
Right, but then there was the yellow one, and I forget the yellow one's name. It might have been Damien too. But you're right, it did have another name. I just can't recall it off the top of my head. Lucifer was when he turned heel and he had the Cobra. You're right.
Yeah.
That was the one that bit Macho Man on the arm.
And the last one in that set is Roddy Piper. He has the white Hot Rod t-shirt. It's cloth too, which I think is great. Great touch.
Perfect.
Yep. And he comes with a kilt.
Yep. It's the perfect Piper figure. It's almost like his entrance great, really.
Yep. Are you so
minus the bagpipes.
Which one are you getting?
All of them.
Explain.
These are easy gets for me, dude. I've been wanting to, and I mentioned it on last week or the week before, I've been trying to collect more loose figures from like the mid to late 80s, early 90s, and Jake and Piper and George the Animal were all on that list. George Steele for me is going to be an easy buy for Shan because her dad loved George Steele and they loved Mine, and the fact that he comes with flowers for Elizabeth, that it's the perfect figure for Shan, dude. She's going to love it. It's going to remind her of her dad. And I don't have I've got the Diesel Classic Superstars, but I don't have a Diesel from Mattel. So that one's an easy buy for me too. Plus I've wanted the IC belt. So I'm probably going to buy all four of them and open them.
Killing me with these opening of figures, dude.
I know, but those are all in my ones that I want opened. And then I'm going to get that ring with the cage from Ringside one of these days. And they're all going to get piled in there, dude. But I'm trying to collect like a certain era of figures opened, not in the package. And all four of those are easy gets for me. Diesel, pretty much just because I want a Diesel figure, and he comes with the IC belt. So must purchases, all four of them.
Diesel, Jake Roberts, and Roddy are the only ones I'm getting. I've already got George Steele from the original Legends line that they came out with.
And the Classic Superstars too as well, right?
Classic Superstars also, which I have autographed.
Yeah, same here.
I'm good on George Steele figures, but I must have the Diesel, even though I've got the Diesel from Elite... Oh, man, I walk by it every morning. You think I can remember the Elite series that's on the bottom of the card?
Elite way back when.
Yeah, Elite Retro.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that one comes with the world title. This one comes with the IC.
True, true. And also, this is a beginning of Diesel era. This is like 93, 94 Diesel.
Yes, exactly, before he dropped Backlund.
So, yeah, those are the three I'm going to be getting. Scott, also... Big Time Bill decided to show off a little mystery bag that's going to be at Ringside Fest this weekend.
Yeah, very interesting mystery bag.
It's not much of a mystery, but
right.
He tweeted out a picture of a Ziploc bag that was, it looked like it was resting on something, but inside the bag was Sasha Banks. Well, what appeared to be Sasha Banks, because the figure was laying face down, which is best for all Sasha figures.
Yeah, let's hide the face.
But you could obviously tell by the purple hair and the WrestleMania 32 tights that it was Sasha. And also next to her was a women's, old school women's, I should say, WWF, WWE title. The one that Trish wore, the one that Stephanie McMahon held, one that Lita wore. So, interesting little mystery bag. We'll find out what that is this weekend.
Yeah, if that's a set, like Sasha with that title, it doesn't make much sense to me. But whatever, another Sasha figure. And this will be the first one in that gear that's an actual action figure. Mm-hmm. And not the doll, like the Barbie-style doll, because we recall at SDCC, they had the two-pack of Charlotte and Sasha in their WrestleMania 32 gear. And the outfit that Sasha's wearing in that two-pack is the one that Bill showed in the packaging there, or in that Ziploc bag. So I'm really looking forward. If that is going to be a mass-released figure, I'm really looking forward to picking that one up.
This weekend's going to be pretty interesting to see what they show off at Ringside Fest.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm going to be glued to Ringside Collectibles all day on, or not Ringside, but WrestlingFigs.com all day on Sunday.
I am so jealous of everyone on the East Coast, dude.
Yeah, me too. I wish they'd do a West Coast run with the Ringside Fest. It just sucks, man. We're left out.
So, like, you guys over on the East Coast, you guys just don't understand how lucky you are. You guys have, like, a Wizard Con, or what's the other Comic-Con type thing over there? I know we have San Diego.
Yeah, but who can get tickets to that? Those things are impossible to get into.
True, true. But like for your guys' Wizard Con, you guys have Alexa, or who else has been to those Wizard Cons?
They just announced the Hardy Boys for one.
Oh.
That's coming up next month. Yeah, they get the Hardys. They had one here in Sacramento and didn't even bring anybody from WWE.
We had zero from WWE. The last time,
zero.
The last time we had somebody here from WWE was 2015 and Paige was here.
Yeah, that's right. They had one in San Jose and they don't do that one anymore. And actually, Sacramento got taken off the schedule for 2018. So we're not even going to get a WizardCon next year.
It's already been taken off?
Yes, Sacramento was not put on the schedule. I think they just didn't draw. So they took it off. The same thing happened to Reno and San Jose. So the three that we had, Reno, San Jose, Sacramento, all those Wizard Cons have been pulled off the schedule. So it makes it even harder to get WWE signatures out here.
Oh, damn it.
I know, dude. The struggle is real, but on the East Coast, man, it's feast time over there for the signatures.
I know. Paint pens are flowing.
Yeah, it's famine over here. It's jamming over there.
The weight bearings inside paint pens are clicking. Click, 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 click. That's awesome when you go to a signing and all you hear is click, 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 because everybody's shaking their paint pen.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
Scott, FTC news, what you got?
Yes, FTC this week showed Trent. He has a new figure coming out. He is in a yellow bandana. I thought that they captured his face really, really well. He's got a black jacket on. He's got his Roppongi Vice tights on. Bill Murray is on one of his knee pads. You pointed that out, Jeff, that is Bill Murray. I didn't know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
Just a killer looking figure all around. Great accessories. Great sculpt job. Check out Trent on FTC's Twitter.
You thought they got the face really well?
Yeah, I thought they captured him really well.
So I thought they got half of it right from the nose, from the bridge of the nose up. So like the eyes up to the hair, I thought they did well on that. But from the nose down, it was off to me and I wasn't a fan of that part.
Okay.
But I like Trent. So am I still going to get it? Yeah. Because I like that figure. Now,
yeah.
I'm not going to let one little portion of a face, just like one little smidge, unlike a Sasha Banks face where that thing is just busted.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to let that deter me because it's just from the nose down. It just, I don't know. It's off with me. But do I love the jacket? Yeah. The tights? Yeah. Knee pads? Great. Great touch. Great detail. Love the bandana. Definitely a get.
Yeah, I think overall it is a really, really good figure. I give it an 8 out of 10.
The Trent figure will be coming home with me. Or will be showing up at my doorstep, I should say.
Nice.
Scott, we're going to round out the Bendy series. I think it's time that we do.
Yeah, let's knock these last two out and move it on.
We'll knock these last two series out, and then we'll also kind of go over some figures that they put out and some notable ones that did not come out.
Yes.
Let's hit up those bendies.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.
Scott, we're going nostalgia with the bendy figures. Let's go.
Yep, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to hit series 11 and series 12, and we're just going to drop it. They did have more series after this, but we're just going to stop it after series 12. We'll hit these last two, go over some of the protos that we never saw. But let's get started. Just Toys Bendems series 11 consisted of Vince McMahon, and he was in his gray suit. The Godfather, he was in a vest and yellow pants. And proving that this line wasn't really marketed to kids, he was puffing on a cigar. Al Snow, who had a mannequin head raised above him, another example that they're not really marketing to kids. And finally, Val Venus.
I was excited about the Al Snow one. Back in 98, 99, I was a huge Al Snow fan.
Yes, but primarily because of ECW.
Right, exactly. Not because he was part of the New Rockers or that he was Leaf Cassidy. Or that he was, what was that other gimmick he had?
I remember him as more like New Rockers and then Leaf Cassidy, and that's about it. And then he became a whole new person in ECW.
I thought there was one gimmick he had where he was under a mask.
Al Snow?
I thought.
Are you thinking Quang? That was Savio Vega.
I know that was Savio Vega. Maybe I'm thinking of Aldo Montoya, which was just incredible.
Are you thinking Battle Cat?
Am I thinking Max Moon?
I hope not.
Are you thinking Lasertron?
Dude, Lasertron was awesome. Too bad they never made a figure of him.
Mark.
Dude, I was kidding.
Mark.
Okay, fine. I deserve that.
No, actually, one thing that you and I were just talking about before we jumped into these.
That we hate LA the Dodgers?
Well, that too. Well, you're not a fan of the Astros. By the way, go Astros.
If they must.
Al Snow was the one of the first bendies, actually was the first bendy out of all these series that was actually positioned in the package with like an arm raising or in a different pose, because all these guys just had their arms flexed out and their fists down by their quads.
Yes.
And that was it. So Al Snow added a different look to it in the package.
Yeah, it was different.
And so I think Al Snow was my favorite out of this one. Godfather, they did a good job on. It was his typical pimp outfit.
Yeah, Godfather out of these four was definitely far and away my favorite. Dude, he was puffing on a cigar. Like, come on. Like, a bendy figure puffing a cigar? That's perfect. And he's a pimp? Sold. Dude, sold.
Mr. McMahon, bendy form, cool.
Yeah, he looked good in the gray suit. Al Snow was cool. Val Venus was definitely the worst out of these. I hated the face on him.
Oh, yeah. These were like what you said. They were like old San Francisco toy makers. I mean, we weren't expecting much, but they were like old San Francisco toy makers. They were trying on the faces a little bit.
Yeah, but it looked like they were trying to revert back to that series one super happy smiley face on all the figures.
Yeah.
But they scaled it back a little bit, and it ended up just kind of being like this weird creepy grin on his face that was kind of strange. So Val Venus was a pass for me. And as a matter of fact, I think I stopped collecting these. I think I picked up the Al Snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I just because like you, I was a big Al Snow fan from what he had done in ECW. And I left the rest on the pegs. And I don't think I bought another one after Series 11. I think that Al Snow was the last one I bought.
And we continued to see these on pegs, too.
Yeah, but they were starting to dry up a little bit more, and you would see more of like the older series still hanging on the pegs, because I think they really started to scale back production with these last series.
Al Snow was in his white t-shirt and jeans.
Yes.
That one was definitely my favorite. He had the mannequin head and he had it raised above his head. Loved it.
Yeah, it was good. It was something different on the packaging, like you mentioned.
Scott, series 12.
Yep, Just Toys Bendem, series 12. Had Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he was in an Austin 316 shirt and blue denim shorts, way ahead of Cena's time. We had Ministry Undertaker. We had Paul White, or the Giant. And we had Mankind, and he was in his white shirt with Mr. Socko. The interesting thing about the series is that Stone Cold Steve Austin was not shown on the back of the package. They actually showed a Big Boss Man.
That's true. And Big Boss Man on the back of the package was shown in his 1999 look, where he had the all black outfit.
Yeah, like the SWAT outfit. SHIELD before SHIELD.
That's true. A good point. At least they updated the Austin.
Yeah, different clothes, I guess. You know, jean shorts and an Austin 316. It looked like he did on Monday Night Raw, the opening of every show where he'd come out in that gear. But I've got to say, the Paul White figure is absolutely atrocious.
Oh, it's terrible.
It is a terrible Bendham. I hate it. It's a black shirt and black pants.
Yeah, it was like his debut.
It almost looks like Midian until you look at the packaging. Oh, that's the Giant. Okay.
Yeah. Picture Paul White at St. Valentine's Day Massacre, and that's what you got for St. Valentine's Day Massacre 99.
Exactly.
And that's what you got here.
Yeah, this is Paul White pre-Big Show.
Yep. Mankind was definitely my favorite. He was in the white shirt. He had Sokka on his right hand. Again, they moved the arm up, and it made a world of difference.
Yeah, it did. Just something different to look at on the packaging. And Ministry Undertaker, for me, was my favorite out of this assortment. I thought that I hated Ministry Undertaker, but I thought that they nailed his Bendham in this set.
So moving forward, some of these Bendies, they just kind of gave up after this line, it seemed, or after this series, I should say. They did release a couple of Jeff Hardys. The face on it looked like an emo kid that hangs out around Starbucks on a skateboard. It was terrible, dude. It was awful. I'm a huge Jeff Hardy fan, but I had to pass on that one.
And they started packaging him with gear, too. It even says on the package, gear. Yeah. And I think Kane came with a garbage can. And you saw, what did Jeff Hardy come with?
Garbage can also.
A garbage can. Okay. Yeah, just, or maybe Kane came with a ladder or something like that. But yeah, they started putting little accessories in with them. Didn't make them any more appealing.
So they did have a couple prototypes that were never released. Obviously, the Big Boss Man, because we never saw, that one was never released.
Right. Right. To the best of our knowledge, they never did release a Big Boss Man. They just showed him on the back of the packaging. It looked cool. He had his sunglasses on. And like you mentioned, he was in his 99 SWAT outfit. It would have been a cool figure. But yeah, never saw the light of day.
Some other prototypes. There was a Dink. So in an ad that was advertising the ring, there was a Doink figure. And I can't remember who Doink was squaring off against. And it was in the ring. But if you looked in the back, like kind of where guys stand for awaiting a tag in the corner, there's a Dink figure. And that Dink figure never came out.
That would have been the first little person figure that we ever got, and it would have been in Bendy form, and it would have been Dink. I think that would have been awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And from the pictures, it looked kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, as cool as a Dink could look.
Well, and also, as I said, it was in the background of the picture. You couldn't see much of it, like the detailing on it or anything like that. So my question is where is this prototype and how do I get my hands on it? Also, prototypes that were never released, Adam Bomb.
Yes, that would have been an awesome one to get your hands on.
Now, this one was supposed to be in with British Bulldog and Mabel series. I forget which.
Yes.
Was that series 3, I believe?
Yeah, I think Sid was the other one in that.
I think so. But yeah, Adam Bomb was supposed to be in that one. And unfortunately, that one never saw the light of day.
Yeah, that sucks because I think that Adam Bomb would have been awesome. But he was pretty much gone by that point. And unfortunately, they never released him. But yeah, like you mentioned with the Boss Man, I would love to know where these prototypes are at. Where's the Dink? Where's the Boss Man? Where's the Adam Bomb? I'd love to see him.
I know. I would love to get my hands on them, dude.
And they did release a ring for these. It came with Paul Bearer.
Yeah, and that was another thing, is the ring was, with a side of ugh.
Yeah, as most rings that came out in the 90s were, with the main exception being the Hasbro rings, of course. But yeah, this ring was pretty bad.
It was not good.
You can find them for really cheap on eBay, too, still to this day, with the pallbearer intact.
So, Scott, that rounds out our Bendies. Should we announce where we're going next?
Before we jump in, I do want to point out one feature of these Bendies that I really, really enjoyed. If you opened your Bendies, which I'm sure most people did, not only on the back of the packaging could you keep that really colorful card that we talked about a few podcasts ago, but on the back of the figure, they had the guy's signature, or in Sunny and China's case, the female signature,
mm-hmm.
which nobody else had ever done that. And I thought that that was a cool touch. It was actually kind of embossed on the rubber, and I thought that was an awesome touch.
That was a great touch. That was one I totally forgot. We should have probably mentioned it in the first 10 series we talked about, but
yeah, but it's kind of, it puts the nice little bow on what I think overall was a pretty successful line. we talked about the first few series, you were able to, because they were in scale with the Hasbros, you were able to fill in for some Hasbro misses. For example, you got a pretty good Sid Justice. You got a pretty good British Bulldog. But most importantly, you got Diesel. And you got an American Lex Luger. So, or an all-American Lex Luger. So they were kind of filling in some holes that Hasbro missed. I loved the Bendies. I thought that they were awesome. But Hasbro and Galoob absolutely beat the crap out of them in the 90s.
They really, really did.
Yeah, they did. This was not a line that was going to compete with those. And they only released like four at a time. But if you're looking for an inexpensive 90s line to jump into, these are still very, very affordable. You can find them on the card for pretty cheap still.
And if you have the prototypes, or if you know anybody that does, hit us up.
Yeah, we'd love to see pictures.
So that rounds out the Bendy. Should we tell them where we're going next, Scott?
Yeah. So we're going to go into one that a lot of people are fans of, and the later series are pretty hard to find, and some of them go for some decent coin. We're going to talk about Jack's Unmatched Fury.
I know. I can't wait to get into these. This was one of my favorite Jack's lines.
Yeah, and you actually opened one of them. You opened your Warrior.
I actually bought two Bretts. One to open, one to keep in the package.
You only bought one Warrior?
I only bought one Warrior.
Gotcha, and you opened it.
I did.
And totally worth it.
Yeah, it was such a great stat. We'll get into this. We'll get into this next week or whatever series that's in. But anyways, I loved the Unmatched Furies. They were so great, dude.
Yeah, they were more like statues posed to kind of capture a moment, I guess. Like with Ultimate Warrior, he's shaking the ropes. Brett's kind of doing the hands out to the side, right?
Yep.
That he always did, like that signature pose in the ring that he always did. You had Honky Tonk Man, Hogan, all doing signature poses, and they were almost like statues. And they came in a really nice box. Just killer line, and that's going to be the next one that we tackle. So that'll be our next nostalgia segment, is Unmatched Fury from Jax.
Spoiler alert, there's Hogan, Brett, Warrior.
Oh, and Honky. Yeah, sorry about that.
Scott, you ready for your secret question?
Sure, let's talk about that.
You're excited about it?
Nope.
Oh.
Never am.
Oh, you seemed excited. I was like, holy crap.
No, you know every week, that's my shtick, dude. I hate the secret question, but I get into it.
A new leaf you turned.
Meh. I don't know about that.
Let's get into your secret question. Scott, your secret question this week. Are you ready?
I am very, very ready.
Good. Because I'm going to just ask it to you no matter what.
I'm literally on the edge of my seat awaiting this question.
Every week you are.
Yes, I am.
Scott, out of all the Halloween Havocs, what is the one thing that stands out to you the most, and which is what is the one that just makes you shake your head and go, oh, WCW?
You know what's funny is I have an immediate answer for you.
Are you going to say spin the wheel?
No, I am not going to say spin the wheel. Now, you have to remember, I'm way more schooled on WWF 80s and 90s wrestling as opposed to WCW. I rewatched a lot of the WWF pay-per-views from the 80s and 90s, but I don't rewatch a lot of the WCW/NWA ones unless it's a War Games or a Great American Bash or a Starrcade. So I'm not a big historian on Halloween Havocs, but I can say in the Halloween Havocs that I've watched, the one moment that stands out to me the most is when Barry Windham dressed up as Sting and allowed Sid Vicious to beat him. And then the real Sting came in from the back and beat Sid Vicious. And I think that was the moment that I was forever like, I'm skipping Halloween Havoc.
Halloween Havoc had some of the best logos.
Oh, agree. Yes. As crappy as some of the pay-per-views might have been, you're absolutely right. Their logo for that was awesome.
Their logos were fantastic. Whether it was the guy with the battle axe and it said Halloween Havoc,
yes,
or the tombstone with the skeleton kind of with its hands over said Halloween,
yes,
they had some of the best logos for pay-per-views.
Yes, they did.
I love the Halloween Havocs. I'm not a big, I'll probably catch heat for this, but I'm not a big Halloween fan. Like, I just never have been into this holiday.
Well, you don't like candy or costumes?
Let's see what the women are wearing. Then we'll talk about
it. Yes, good point. Good point.
Yes. But anyways, I just never been a big Halloween fan. But I thought that these logos that they were doing were great for these pay-per-views.
Yes, the logos were outstanding. Correct me if I'm wrong. Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero had that classic cruiserweight title match at a Halloween Havoc, right? Where Rey Mysterio was in the purple outfit. That was Halloween Havoc, right?
Halloween Havoc 97.
97. Okay. Best match ever at a Halloween Havoc.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah, that is the staple Halloween Havoc match to watch.
That's one of my top 10 favorite matches of all time.
Yeah, I always get confused if that was at a Halloween Havoc or because I didn't, like I said, I'm not a big historian of the Halloween Havocs and I really didn't watch a lot of late 90s pay-per-views with WCW. But that match definitely caught my attention and that is the best Halloween Havoc match ever. But dude, between the spin the wheel, make the deal thing and then Barry Windham being dressed up as Sting and then Sting coming back out, that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous because everybody was like, okay, who is that dressed up as Sting? Like, look, nothing like taller, skinnier, not as muscular. Like, were we supposed to buy that was Sting?
Yeah, right.
That was your idea.
I still remember. I forget which Halloween Havoc it was, but Stan Hansen beat Lex Luger.
Oh yes, that was 91.
And I was like, why? I don't get why Stan Hansen just beat Lex Luger. I want to say it was a gimmick match too, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it?
I don't remember if it had a gimmick tied to it. I know that their rematch at Starrcade 91 did. That was the four corner, the bull rope match.
That's right. That's the one I'm thinking of.
And that was actually Luger's best match ever. And Luger won that. So I think you're right. He did lose the title to Stan Hansen at the Halloween Havoc before that.
Ugh. WCW.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Halloween Havoc, whatever. That wasn't a big one for me ever, but definitely the best match ever at a Halloween Havoc was that Rey and Eddie Guerrero match. Epic. Just a classic.
The spin the wheel thing was absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, when they fried Abdullah in the middle of the ring?
Was that year?
Oh, no. That was the coal miner glove on a pole match or something.
Yeah. Like a Vince Russo type thing before Vince Russo.
Yeah, Sting and Jake, right?
Yes.
Yeah, equally as horrible.
I want to say there was a Hogan and Flair match too at a Halloween Havoc in a steel cage. I think that was the one where Sherry climbed it and she took a hard bump, like lunged at everyone.
Didn't Hogan and Warrior have their rematch at a Halloween Havoc?
Oh my God, the worst rematch in history.
Maybe, well, you know, we always have Bundy and SD Jones, but that might be the worst match in history.
Where Hogan set the flash paper on fire and it singed off his own eyebrows.
Dude, what a dumpster fire of a match. I mean, unreal. So, and then Ultimate Warrior's doing barrel rolls in the ring to escape Hogan's stomp. Like, really? That's your... Or, just bad, dude. Bad.
It's Halloween time. By the way, happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween, everyone.
I had to bring that up, but like that happened to Halloween Havocs, but there was a lot of forgettable stuff and very little positive stuff. But I remember a lot of bad stuff at Halloween Havocs.
Well, look, Halloween itself is a big gimmick. So kudos to WCW for kind of making their big gimmick pay-per-view like Halloween Havoc. But, you know, at least they had some stellar matches. For example, the Rey and Eddie match. But then you had your share of dumpster fires like Sting versus Sid with Barry Windham dressed as Sting, his Sting costume. And then the Hogan and Warrior rematch that should have never happened. I guess that would have been Havoc 98.
Yeah, I think it was.
Just yuck.
Oh, well, that rounds out your secret question. I had to throw in a Halloween thing, I guess.
I love it. Good call on the theme.
Scott, we are going to jump into who did it better. I'm excited about this one, actually.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's somebody that doesn't jump into your mind when you say a figure that's been represented in a lot of lines. But when we say the name and you start going through the list, you're like, oh, yeah, he did have quite a few. So stay tuned. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm
victorious. And I will defend. I will defend. Scott, before we get into who did it better, I want to give a plug to That Wrestling Club. They are a subscription service box. This next month, they're going to go to a little extreme. And they're going to be releasing their very first WrestleTune. So, not you and I tune, but WrestleTune.
Oh, maybe one of these days.
One of these days, we will have figures. But they are going to be releasing their very first WrestleTune to coincide with the box. Scott, you and I got a sneak peek at it. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I dig it. It's something different that I think is really going to catch people's attention.
It's adorable, dude. I actually really like it.
Yeah, it's cool. I think people are really going to enjoy it.
So again, that's going to coincide with the theme of that month, just to kind of give you a little teaser, a little clue.
And did you say, Jeff, that it was extreme?
It's extreme.
Okay.
So head on over to thatwrestlingclub.com, sign up, or you can follow them on Twitter at @THTWrestleClub. Again, it's a monthly service. It's a mystery box type thing. Sign up over it. Give those guys a follow on Twitter or do what you can. Help those guys out.
Absolutely. Go check them out.
Scott, are you ready for Who Did It Better?
Yes, I am.
This one took a lot of thinking on my part, which was all 5 minutes.
That is a lot of thinking for you, dude.
Dude, my day is so bogged down at work. Yes, this is the fact that I had 5 minutes alone. Ah.
Good Pantera. Who are you? Corey Graves? Referencing Pantera in the podcast? I love it.
Does Corey reference Pantera?
Oh, dude, he did it for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Like Braun Strowman laid somebody out or something, and he's like, that was a vulgar display of power.
Dude, how did I miss that?
Yeah, dude, he did it like 3 or 4 weeks in a row where he referenced Pantera, and it was awesome. He'd reference like a different song of theirs with something that was going on in the ring. It was great.
Wow.
Which he's taken to doing with Guns N' Roses lately, too. Like, he did mention Mr. Brownstone, which blew me away.
Dude, that's awesome.
Or Night Train. It was Night Train. That's what it was.
I guess it shows how much I pay attention to WWE commentary.
Yeah, but Corey Graves is the man, dude.
Oh, he is. He's really good, dude.
Yeah, at least pay attention to what Corey Graves is saying. Booker T is just straight nonsense. Michael Cole is a robot. But dude, Corey Graves, he just brings it. He is awesome.
Yeah, he is excellent. I give him credit for that. Like you said, Michael Cole is just a robot.
He's whatever. And then Booker T is just nonsense. Somebody brought up on Twitter the other day, it would be cool if we could pick and choose who we wanted to listen to on commentary. And we wish that Booker T came with a mute button. So we could just play Corey Graves commentary.
So Scott, this week we are going to do Who Did It Better. And after 5 minutes of thinking.
A whole five minutes.
There is a gentleman who we overlooked. But if you think back, like you said in the last segment, this guy had quite a few figures. He had AWA, he had Hasbro, he had Jax, and he's had Mattel.
Yep. Multiples. Yes, multiples. And also in different personas.
In Jax, he had multiple figures. In Mattel, he's only had one.
Right. But you're hoping that he has a second one.
Fingers crossed, dude.
You Strike Force Mark, you.
The gentleman that we are discussing is Rick Martel.
Yes.
So Rick Martel had the AWA.
Yep. Packaged with Baron Von Raschke.
Very good. He was in the red trunks.
Yes. Black boots.
He had the LJN where he was in Strike Force gear, where it's just white trunks, white boots.
Yes.
I wish they would have released him in the Can-Am connection, but I was okay with Strike Force.
Yeah. That Can-Am was so short-lived, dude. And could you imagine if Tom Zenk had an LJN made and not Barbarian or Smash?
Oh, dude, you would have lost your mind.
That's grounds for a riot, sir.
He also had a Hasbro where he was in pink trunks and he was dressed up as the model.
Yes.
Then he didn't have anything until Jax, where he was released as the model first, right? And then Strike Force, or was it Strike Force then he was the model?
I don't recall the exact timing of which one came out first. If I had to guess, I want to say that Strike Force came out first and then the model came out later.
I think you might be right. We got to check out what the dates that those were released. But yeah. I think you're right on that one.
Yeah, I think Strike Force hit first, and then he came out as the model.
In Mattel, he was in the Mattel Legends, where he was also the model. Black Jacket, he had the Yes, I Am a Model button.
Yes.
And he came with the Can of Arrogance.
With Arrogance, yes.
Scott, who did it better?
You know me. I always go retro. Except when it comes to Rick Martel, I would have absolutely 100% said his Hasbro figure was the best Rick Martel figure made, but it did not come with an accessory. And what we loved about the Hasbros is all of the accessories that were packaged with them made sense. It would have made sense if they had put in a Can of Arrogance with the Hasbro Rick Martel, but they didn't. And for that reason, I go with the Mattel Legends as my favorite Rick Martel figure.
I've got to agree with you. Despite multiple Strike Force, which was my favorite tag team at the time.
Yes.
Despite multiple Strike Force figures, I've got to go with that Mattel Legends. Mattel wins this one, man. They crushed it on that figure. The hair is perfect. It's pitch black. It's thrown back. He's got the sunglasses on. Wait, does he have the sunglasses on?
Yeah, and he's got the black jacket.
Yep, he's got the black jacket.
And it's got the button.
And the can of arrogance. Just everything about that figure is so underrated, but so good.
It absolutely captures Martel perfectly. It's got the Yes, I Am a Model button on it, the can of arrogance. It just, it captures him so well, like you mentioned, all the way down to the slick backed hair. Just, it's perfect. And I really, really wish that I could pick the Hasbro, because that Hasbro figure is really, really good. But no arrogance, it just makes it a miss. The Hasbro's awesome, but the Mattel is just one step higher than that figure is. And you know what's really surprising about Martel is that he did not have a Toy Biz figure.
No, well, his run in WCW in the late 90s was just a brief thing. It was a cup of coffee in there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he was a TV champion. He had a best of seven with Booker T. He was on TV, I think, until like 97, 98. And the Toy Biz line was starting to take off around then. And I don't know. I'm just kind of surprised that he never had a Toy Biz figure.
I'm not.
No? Okay. But it would have been cool if he had been featured in that line.
One thing that we are forgetting is he actually had a purple bow tie in that Mattel Legends, which I forgot about and is excellent. I have it hanging up in my wrestling figure room. And I forgot all about that bow tie.
Yeah. It's such an awesome figure. They just captured everything about the model character and threw it into a package, and it's excellent. Like I said, I really wish I could pick the Hasbro. The LJN is good. I think that they did a great job capturing his face. He's a little on the small side, that figure is. And it's really just kind of a basic figure. White trunks, white boots, got his arms kind of pointed out, and like he's pointing. I thought they captured the face really well, but it's a little bit short, if you ask me. It's okay. It's an okay LJN. But the Hasbro is excellent, but the Mattel is just one step better. So if you are going to invest in a Rick Martel figure, I highly suggest that Mattel Legends.
So let's go back. So the Hasbro, he was in the Macho Series 1 pose where both arms went up and came crashing down.
Yes, and in pink trunks.
In Jax, he had the model figure in the regular Jax Classic line where he had the pink sweatshirt, pink trunks, pink boots.
Yeah, it was a good figure.
And then he was in the Jax Classic 2-pack with Tito for Strike Force, which I marked out for.
Yeah, of course. They had to make Strike Force.
And then he had the Mattel. My least favorite, I hate to say it, but maybe AWA?
See, I actually like the AWA. I thought that for what those figures were and what they had to work with, I think that they actually captured Martel pretty well. I'm going to have to say his Strike Force figure is my least favorite. Only because he had the jacket on, which I'm not a fan of. With fit, you know me, and I've talked about this. I don't like when they have like their entrance gear on as a figure. It's fine if you're displaying it, but I always think like for playing with the figure. And so for that reason, that one's my least favorite.
I think Tito had the jacket. He had the Strike Force shirt on, I think.
Oh, Martel was in the shirt.
Yeah, that's another one that's hanging up in my back room that I should have looked at before I came out here.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that one is my least favorite. I actually don't mind the AWA figure at all. I wrestled with that one quite a bit growing up. I played with that Martel figure quite a lot. I don't know. With the ring gear on, it doesn't do much for me, but really, that's still a decent figure. I don't hate it. They really haven't done a horrible Rick Martel figure.
You had to make me choose. I would say the AWA, but I agree with you. There hasn't been one bad one.
Yeah, much like Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Jim is really tough because there has never been one bad Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
No, and I would kind of put Martel in there as well. Like trying to pick out your least favorite, you're kind of like, oh, they're all pretty good. But you know, if you don't like Remco's, it's easy to say that the Remco is the worst one.
Oh, I didn't mind Remco's. It's just if I had to choose out of all the Martels.
Yeah, I'm just saying for the, you know, for a person that really doesn't care about Remco's, you throw all those figures out, they're going to go, bam, I hate the Remco. But you have to think about what Remco had to work with, which wasn't a lot. You had a He-Man body and a little tiny face to sculpt. And while Hasbro excelled at that, you know, Remco was like, okay, most of them were pretty good. Most of them were pretty good. And I actually really like that Martel Remco.
So, Scott, that rounds out Rick Martel. Who did it better? Actually, before we go, we actually just got a question in our Gmail.
Oh, good timing.
Yeah, perfect. This came from Cody Nickens. Hey, guys, I always loved how the WWE shines their marketing light on all of their talent. I think that Jax really did a great job in the Classic Superstars line, making classic big-time legends, but also quirky, silly gimmicks and characters that indeed deserve figures. My question is, out of the sillier gimmicks, who do you guys think Jax missed out on from the 80s and 90s? I think a Fabulous Rougeau's three-pack with Raymond and Jacques and Jimmy Hart would have been fabulous. Yes, pun intended. And Samu and Fatu definitely deserve Jack's counterparts to their awesome Hasbros. Men on a Mission, Duke the Dumpster, Drossi, a lot of the guys would have room on my shelf. Keep up the great works. Happy toy hunting. Cody from Westminster. Scott, what you got for Cody?
You know, it's funny that he immediately started mentioning those 90s tag teams because my mind immediately jumped to Smoking Guns.
Dude, mine did too.
I think that despite my hatred of those mid-90s gimmicks, the Smoking Guns Hasbros look awesome. And I think that a Jax 2-pack of the Smoking Guns with the hats on and the jackets, I think that would be an outstanding 2-pack. I still think that Mattel should make a Smoking Guns 2-pack. Even though a lot of people hated the tag team, I think if you could make the figures look right, a lot of people are going to buy that and put it on their wall. I agree, Men on a Mission, and we know that Jax did make Mabel. Unfortunately, we never got the Mo to go along with him. But I think that a Men on a Mission 2-pack would have been fantastic. A Head Shrinkers 2-pack would have been great. I'm talking original Head Shrinkers, not when they subbed in Barbarian later. Let's see, who else? You have Man Mountain Rock. You got Duke the Dumpster Drossi.
Mantar.
Dink. Yeah, Mantar. There are so many.
Good call on Dink. I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah, a Doink and a Dink. I think that'd be a cool set.
Hakushi.
Oh, dude.
Okay, he wasn't a sillier gimmick. But Hakushi was badass, dude.
Yes, he was, and he really didn't fit in. Aside from him having like tattoos all over himself, he really didn't fit in. He had a hard-hitting style, very athletic, just way ahead, leaps and bounds of the rest of the guys on the roster. Like Brett was really like the only guy that could go with him, or maybe Shawn Michaels. I think Hakushi would make an excellent looking figure, and we've never had one. So that's a great call.
Trying to think of who else in the sillier gimmicks.
We pretty much got everybody in the 80s.
And we got most of the sillier gimmicks of the 90s. We got a Berserker.
Yes.
We got a Warlord. They never did any version of Ricky Steamboat. I wouldn't say his ninja look was silly. I thought that was really cool.
But the dragon one.
But the dragon one that they did make the defining moment of.
Yes.
Which I hated that defining moment. I refused to buy it, and now that one's worth so much bucks on eBay.
Oh, it is, but I don't even regret not having it in my collection. I hated the gimmick that much. But yeah, they did make one of him. They covered a lot of ground, but I think the huge miss for me with Jack specifically would be the Smoking Guns.
Agreed.
Out of all those crazy gimmicks, I think that done right, you put them in the jeans, the boots, throw the hats on them, the jackets. I think that they'd make some killer sets of those two packs in the Classic Superstars. They would have looked amazing. I mean, considering all the garbage that came out towards the end of that line, if you threw a Smoking Guns in there, I think that thing would have moved quick.
And that's regarding silly gimmicks. We're not even talking about guys that they, like, they never got Macho. They never got Ricky the Dragon.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm thinking silly gimmicks, dude. I'm not thinking like big names. Owen.
Dino Bravo.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We unfortunately never got an LJN Dino. We did not get a Hasbro Dino. That was a big miss. Yeah, I agree with you. Dino would have been a great Jax Classic Superstar. And I think we talked about him last week. Didn't we cover that?
Last week or the week before, yeah.
Yeah, Mike the Cleaner sent me a tweet that was basically like Snoop Dogg nodding his head agreeing with the Dino Bravo that would have just looked awesome with the cape and the arm gauntlet things. That would have just made a killer looking Classic Superstar. Unfortunately, who knows if we're ever going to see a Dino Bravo figure. So yeah, that would definitely be another one I would like to see.
Thank you very much for your question, Cody. Scott, anything you want to express feelings on before we sign off?
Ugh. Okay. One thing, dude, from Raw. Why did Kane beat Finn Balor?
Because booking.
Dude, I know. I understand everybody's like, oh, he's going to face Braun. I get it. I know where this is heading, but Finn just had a killer match with AJ the night before. Kane comes back for one match at TLC, and the very next night beats Finn. I know, three choke slams. I know. But dude, why are you going to have a guy that's been missing for the better part of the last 8 months, maybe longer, and have him beat Finn on Monday Night Raw? What? Frustrating, dude. I know where it's going. I know why they did it. I highly disagree with that move. You could have thrown Kurt Hawkins in the ring with him and it would have been as effective. This does nothing for Finn, dude. Zero. It doesn't further Finn's character. Is he going to dress up as the demon and get revenge on Kane for beating him with three chokeslams? I mean, if that happens, then this kind of makes sense. But this all leads into Braun coming back from the dead from a garbage truck to beat up Kane. And we're supposed to believe that Kane is stronger because he beats Finn? No, we're just mad that Kane beat Finn. That made no sense. I know where it's going. I hate it.
Because booking, dude.
it makes me angry. I love WWE. I do. I sing their praises every week. But when they do things like this, it drives me nuts. I know. Sorry. Thank you. It drives me nuts. I don't know why Finn had to be the victim here. He was coming off a great win against AJ, and then you completely pop his balloon the next night. I don't get it. I mean, am I supposed to believe that Kane is stronger because he beat Finn with 3 chokeslams? No. No. Not at all. I go, that was dumb. It's fine if you disagree with me. That's cool, but that's my 2 cents. It was dumb.
No, I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
Well, I didn't mean you specifically because I know that you hate that too. I mean, the listeners. Like, I know where they're taking this angle. I understand. But Finn was the wrong person to put into that role, considering they just gave him a huge win over SmackDown's biggest superstar the previous evening. Why did it have to be Finn? Why not have Kane win a few matches, like beat up a Curt Hawkins or beat up, you know, somebody else on the roster and then get to Finn and then beat Finn with 3 choke slams? And then, oh, that's a big deal. And then Braun comes back like, okay, you know, he beat Finn. This is going to be a good fight. But right out of the chute, the guy has one match back and then he beats Finn. That's confusing to me. Very confusing. And I try not to get into too much wrestling on the show, but that's been biting my butt for the whole week. And I don't like it.
Okay, so I'm going to go through the good. 2 weeks ago, I should have mentioned this last week. 2 weeks ago, ROH had a pay-per-view that was excellent. A lot of good matches on that. Great showing by all. They really worked their asses off on that one in the Global Wars. That's good. The good also, I don't know if anybody caught this on Monday night, but when the SmackDown crew was going through the locker rooms and they got to Jason Jordan where he was sitting down and the SmackDown guys were just running roughshod on everybody, and Chad Gable runs out from around everyone and was the first one to attack Jason Jordan. I thought that was a great, great touch. Good job on that. I don't know if anybody else caught it, but I loved it. The bad. I hate Kevin Dunn. He's done a lot of good for WWE, but that shaky cam needs to go, dude. I hate shaky cam so much, dude. Now, going back to Monday night, when they were running through the locker rooms, the camera couldn't focus on one thing. It was swinging all over the place like he was having a seizure or something, dude. Ugh. Enough of the shaky cam. Enough of that. It drives me nuts. I hate watching. It's gotten to a point where I hate watching backstage segments like that. Or when they get to the floor cameras and they're shaking the cam all over the place. It drives me absolutely bonkers, dude. That's why I love watching ROH or New Japan and the camera stays still. And I'm like, oh, this is all right in the world. This is great right here. just leave it steady. This is perfect.
Well, at least it makes a little more sense when you think that the guy is like running along or chasing along all this action going on backstage. But it's constant, like every week when you're watching the action in the ring, that same stuff happens.
And watch the jump cuts.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so many jump cuts. It's like a jump cut every 3 seconds. It's like you can almost tell when they're about to cut. It's like, camera one, go. Camera two, get ready. Two, go. And it's like, holy crap. Just stick on camera one for a while, please. You know, it drives me absolutely nuts. I hate the production. It's driving me bonkers, dude. I wish Kevin Dunn would stop this crap. That's all.
Do you have a good to balance out the bad that you just laid on us?
The good. The Young Bucks cease and desist shirt is coming to Hot Topic in December.
Nice.
Christmas gift, dude.
All right. I gotcha. And hey, let's also throw a good in there. Asuka is on the main roster finally.
Yeah, that's good.
That is good. That is great news. That's not just good news. That's great news.
It was expected.
Well, for sure. But she's finally on the main roster. She's going to be a great addition for Raw. I don't think that Emma should have gotten in as much offense as she did, but it is what it is, and Asuka's on the main roster, and it's going to be exciting. I'm really, really happy that Asuka's there, and I'm excited to see where the women's division is going. Very excited about that.
That was Emma's best match in 4 years, being on the
main
roster.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I think like 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years.
Yeah, that was her best match.
Yeah, since her versus Walmart.
Okay. So the best two ways to support the show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up those two t-shirts. Fully Posable Goes Retro, Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirts. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and the Book of Faces. Was there anything else? Oh yeah, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. Facebook, Fully Posable. Snapchat, Fully Posable.
Wow, you're really phoning in this outro, dude. This is like the worst one you've ever done.
I did, dude. I totally shat the bed on this one, dude.
Wow. Do you want to just let him go with a peace out? Like,
deuces, folks.
Yeah. Wow.
One love, I'm out.
2 for 20. Instagram.
Oh yeah, Fake Life t-shirt. Pin. If you want the pin, it's $10.
Whatamaneuver.net.
iTunes, subscribe.
Have you ever watched a car accident happen? This is the equivalent of that. Like, you can hear the brakes and the tires squealing and...
Hold on. I'm not done yet. FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. Like Cody Nickens sent in a question tonight. Yeah. Okay, I'm almost done, dude.
So for my third mention of the night, dumpster fire.
Scott, for episode 93, anything else?
I want to apologize for Jeff, first and foremost, for that horrible outro that you just experienced. Please support the show by going to whatamaneuver.net, buying either of our classically jacked or Fully Posable Goes Retro shirts. If you'd like to...
Hey, it's not episode 100. You're not allowed to do this yet, minion.
I'm doing the intro on episode 100. We've said nothing about the outro.
Oh.
Also, oh. Well,
if this is good, then you can do this every week, dude.
You don't cut the rock off at second base. If you'd like to support the show as well, you can also go to our DMs at our Fully Posable Twitter. Slide into our DMs and let us know that you'd like to purchase the 2 for 20. Give us your address, PayPal us $20, and you will get an exclusive hashtag FigLife shirt with our Fully Posable logo on the back and our Fully Posable Goes Retro pin. If you just want the pin, it's $10. If you just want the shirt is $20. But why not go for 2 for $20? And aside from that, happy toy hunting.
I just kicked my feet up during that, dude. Like a boss.
Cowboy.
Hell yeah, cowboy. Dude, it's funny because Breaker says that all the time. And Celeste is getting mad at me because I keep saying it on the show. And she goes,
"Oh, you want to shoot, cowboy?"
And I was like, but I don't think Breaker minds. And she goes, "No, that is Breaker's thing. You leave that to Breaker."
Yeah, you got to be careful with gimmick infringement, dude.
It's catchy. It's catchy. I don't know why. I actually said it at work today, too.
You got to mess around with a little catch name like that. Like Slappy.
Hell yeah, Slappy.
Or Bud.
Like Ryan Buds?
Maybe Chief.
Or go check out Ryan Buds, his podcast, Trivia with Buds.
Yeah, we're on there.
It was Kiss versus Kevin Smith.
Yes. It kind of went off the rails a little bit because Jeff didn't know his later Kevin Smith movies and I started stealing points.
You stole hella points, dude. Although I did win on the pay-per-view names.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I shat the bed on that one. Dude, where is this outro going? Are we like still recording? Like, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah, we are still recording.
The car crash is still happening, folks. There's still cars piling in here.
Guys, it's Friday night. By the way, happy birthday to Rant with Ant.
Yes, happy birthday, sir.
Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.